Chapter 51. The Trial of an Empire. The trial of the three train robbers was greeted by the public with the same sensational interest it had earlier shown in the crime itself. The prosecuting officials, mindful of the attention focused upon the event, took care to heighten the drama inherent in the proceedings. Burgess, the most minor of the players, was brought to the dock of the Old Bailey first. The fact that this man knew only parts of the whole story only whetted the public appetite for further details. Egger was interrogated next, providing still more information, but Egger, like Burgess, was a distinctly limited man, and his testimony served only to focus attention on the personality of Pierce himself, whom the press referred to as the master criminal, and the brilliant, malignant force behind the deed. Pierce was still incarcerated in Coldbath Fields, and neither the public nor the press had seen him. There was plenty of freedom for eager reporters to conjure up wild and fanciful accounts of the man's appearance, manner, and style of living. Much of what was written during the first 2 weeks of July 1857 was obviously untrue. That Pierce lived with three mistresses in the same house and was a human dynamo. That he had been behind the great cheque swindle of 1852... that he was the illegitimate son of Napoleon I, that Pierce took cocaine and laudanum, that he had been previously married to a German countess and had murdered her in 1848 in Hamburg. There is not the least evidence that any of these stories is correct, but it is certainly true that the press whipped public interest to the point of frenzy. Even Victoria herself was not immune to the fascination with this most bold and dastardly rogue whom we should like to perceive at first hand. She also expressed a desire to see his hanging. She was apparently not aware that in 1857 grand theft was no longer a capital offence in England. For weeks, crowds had been gathering around Coldbath Fields on the unlikely chance of getting a look at the master thief. And Pierce's house in Mayfair was broken into on three occasions by avid souvenir hunters. One well-born woman, there is no further description, was apprehended while leaving the house with a man's handkerchief. Showing not the slightest embarrassment, she said that she merely wished to have a token of the man. The Times complained that this fascination with a criminal was unseemly, even decadent, and went so far as to suggest that the behaviour of the public reflected some fatal flaw in the character of the English mind.